Interested, just looking at the flyer that Kirsty gave me for the mission in Caledon, it says here, relevant Bible messages. Relevant Bible messages. And that's just the word that I was thinking about before coming out tonight. Relevant. And that's the cry of many. The cry of many is that the church is not relevant. The cry of many is the preaching today is not relevant to where people are at. And there's some people who cry this and they're sincere and that's what they mean. There's other people, and whenever they cry the church is not relevant, the preaching is not relevant, really what they're saying is the Bible's not relevant. The Bible's not relevant. Stop preaching the Bible. Whenever you hear people calling you to be relevant, there's some who are sincere, but there's others. And they're really saying, you know what? The Bible's not relevant today. So it's no longer relevant to preach the Bible. So it's not. And you know, I believe many Christians have sort of imbibed that. So they have. And they have this idea, you know what? Maybe we're not that relevant. Maybe the Bible isn't relevant for today. Maybe the gospel's not relevant for today. And they've sort of embraced that. And the result is that whenever their church seeks to engage in outreach and mission, they're not there. Because they don't want us to be seen to be irrelevant. That's what they're thinking. Do you know what? Maybe it's not that relevant. And I think that has been a lie the devil has used to disarm the church today. To keep people in their pew, rather than to take them out into the park with the gospel. But I want to try to show you tonight that this book, this word, this gospel is relevant. And that's why we've got to get ready to go out with it. I want to use the illustration of giving blood. You and I know that people can't live without blood. That's well known. And that's why it's such a good thing to give blood. Really good thing to give blood. Whenever someone goes to give blood, they're not embarrassed about it. They're not thinking to themselves, is this really relevant in this day and age? The need to give blood? Surely in our sophisticated society with all of its unbelievable advancements in medicine, you still have to give blood. No, people don't think like that. Indeed, it's a very honorable thing to go and to give blood. It's not something to be embarrassed about. Unless you're like me. I wanted to give blood for a long time, so I went. And Stuart remembers this well because unfortunately, he was there too and he saw it all. And they took my blood. Well, my, then it started. And then they fed me tea and biscuits. And I sat and sat, and by this stage, Stuart was well on his way. He was feeling fine, but not me. And I thought I could make it, so I went out to the church hall in Scott Street and I staggered across the car park and I finally found a wall to sit down on. At that point, the nurses came flying out and had all the beds packed up for the day and they had to pull one out of the van and let me lie down again. So they said, come back again. I did. I did go back again. The same thing happened and they told me not to come back. They said, you need your blood, so keep it. But that was my experience. But nevertheless, it's a good thing to give blood. It's nothing to be embarrassed about because we know that people cannot live without it. So they can't. But it's the same with the word of God. Jesus here answers Satan. Satan has tempted him. He says to him in verse 3, remember, Jesus has been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. He is obviously hungry, and that's an understatement. And the devil comes and he says, if you're the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. Jesus answered him, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Friends, just as people cannot live without blood, they cannot. Jesus says here, people cannot live on bread alone. People cannot live simply on the bread of this world. They can't do it. They cannot live on the bread of this world. I don't care if it's pan bread or plain bread or wheaten bread like Elsie's. I don't care if it's the bread of possessions or the bread of wealth or the bread of fame. People cannot live on the bread of this world, just as they cannot live without blood. Jesus makes it clear, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone. You remember that, folks. You remember that whenever you're out in the summertime engaging in door-to-door work or whatever. You remember that when you walk up to that person and they've got it all. Jesus says man cannot live on bread alone. They might have it all, but that's not enough for them to live on. Jesus himself spoke in John 6, and he said there in verse 35, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Man cannot live on the bread of this world alone. It will not suffice. Man needs to be fed and nourished with the one who is the bread of life. But let's look at verse 4, our text here this evening. Jesus is responding to Satan, who has been tempting him to turn the stones into bread. After all, you're hungry, Jesus. Listen to what Jesus says. It is written, Jesus is quoting from Scripture. He says, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone. The first question, what kind of living is Jesus here talking about? Man cannot live on bread alone. Can you not live on bread? I think I would do very well on bread. I love bread. I love white bread and brown bread. All different kinds of bread. I'm told it's not good for you too much. But there's many's a one and they live on bread. Many's an old person living by themselves. And that's their staple. Bread and jam and tea. And they do quite well on it. So they do. So what kind of living is Jesus talking about here? Is he just talking about physical living? Is he talking about simply the capacity of the body to live and to function? Is that what he means when he says, man cannot live on bread alone? Well, if that's what he means, he's wrong. Because I said, there's many's a one and they live on bread. Many's a one and they have to live on bread. That's not the kind of living that Jesus is talking about here. He's not talking about physical living. He's not talking about simply the body functioning. That's not the kind of living he's talking about when he says man will not live on bread alone. He's referring to spiritual living. He's referring to a whole different dimension of living. He's referring to the kind of living we talk about in, or he talks about in John 10 and 10. There he talks about living and life. He says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and destroy. I have come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. He says, I have come that people might be living abundantly. Now, when he talks about abundant life, he's not talking about possessions or anything like that. He's talking about another dimension of life. He's talking about spiritual life. He says, I have come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. That's the life Jesus is talking about when he says man will not live on bread alone. Bread alone, friend. The bread of this world can never impart to people, can never impart to you abundant life, spiritual life, the fullness of the life that Jesus came to give you. The bread of this world can never impart that. That's the kind of life he's talking about here. He's talking about living abundantly. But he's talking about another kind of life we see in John 10 as well. Because there in verse 28, he refers to life again. It's not just abundant life here. He says, I give to them eternal life. Eternal life. And that's what Jesus has in mind when he says, man will not live on bread alone. In other words, the bread of this world will never satisfy man. It will never give man abundant spiritual life. It will never give man the capacity to enjoy eternal life. I have come that you might have life more abundantly. I give to them eternal life. And they will never perish. That's the life he's talking about. He's not talking about existing and surviving and the body continuing. That's not the life he's talking about. It's spiritual. It's eternal life. And he says, man cannot live this life, cannot have this life by bread alone. By bread alone. You know, from what Jesus says here, we can conclude a number of things. We can conclude that man is so much more than physical. Man is so much more than physical. And that's what Jesus is getting at. Yes, bread can satisfy man's physical need. We know that, and Jesus knows that. Remember how he broke the fish and the bread and he fed the multitudes with it. Jesus knew that physical food, physical bread, is good to satisfy a man's physical hunger. But he says man cannot live on bread alone. And so he's opening up a whole new realm to us here. He's showing us that man is not just physical, man is spiritual. Man comprises a soul that is eternal, a soul that will live on, either in heaven or in hell. That's what Jesus here is getting at. That man is not just physical, but man is spiritual. And that is made clear from the very commencement of time. In Genesis 2, in verse 7, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Remember that. Remember that when you go out in the summer to do the doors or out into the open air, and people look at you as though you're irrelevant and not for real. Remember what Jesus says, man will not live on bread alone. Remember that those people are more than physical. Those people are spiritual. Those people have got a soul that cannot be nourished, life cannot be imparted to it through physical bread alone. You see, the bread of this world will never satisfy the needs of a spiritual man. The bread of this world will never supply life to the spiritual man. Makes sense. In James chapter 2 and verses 15 and 16, it says there, if a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to him, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what profit is it to them? And you see, that's just one example. There's many examples of that. that physical needs, like hunger, are met through physical food. But when it comes to the spiritual, we can't expect man's spiritual needs to be satisfied with physical things. So we can't. And that's why Jesus says what he says in the second part of verse 4. Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Cannot live on bread alone. Man is spiritual. The bread of this world cannot satisfy him. The bread of this world cannot impart spiritual abundant life. It cannot impart a spiritual eternal life. For that, what he needs is every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. What people need, dear friends, is the word of God. If they are to live abundantly, if they are to live eternally, they need the word of God. So they do. And let's not think, friends, let's get away from this notion that the word of God, the gospel, is irrelevant in 2015. It's not. It's not. Man cannot live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Let's just take that phrase, every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. What is that? What is that? In order for man to know life, know abundant life, know eternal life, he needs every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's this book, friends. That's the word of God. Because you see, in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16, it says there, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. But notice that first phrase. It says all scripture is given by inspiration of God. We could change that and it could read all scripture is God breathed. God breathed. This book and the word that this book contains is the expired word of God. So it is. And that's exactly what Jesus is talking about here. Man cannot live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Where do I get this? Where do I get this word? The word that proceeds from the mouth of God. I want to share this word with people. Where do I get it? You've got it. You've got it. This is the word that has proceeded from the mouth of God. So it is. You have got, dear friends, what people need. So you have. I have got what people need. They may not recognize they need it. They may look at us as though we're odd and what we have to say is abstract and of no relevance to them today. That's because they're in their sins. The God of this age has blinded their eyes. Who are we going to believe? Jesus says, you have got the word that proceeds from the mouth of God that can change people's lives. The devil in the world says, this word is irrelevant. Don't make a fool of yourself going to Granville on a Saturday morning and talking to people about this word. Who do you believe? I suggest you believe Jesus. You've got this word that can impart life to those who are dying. And notice Jesus says, man will not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Everywhere. Everywhere. Got to put my hands up. Sometimes I come to the long list of genealogies, all those names, and I'm quickly over them. Don't read them. It says every word. Man will not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And that's got great significance for us, folks, as we come to church. You know, there's no place for going away and saying, you know what, I got nothing out of that this morning. Got nothing out of it. No place for that at all. Did you hear the word of God? The breathed out word of God. That word, Jesus says, imparts life and living to those who hear it and to those who receive it. But I like the last bit. It says, man will not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. The mouth of God. How profound that is. From the very mouth of God. Friends, as you take this book, as you take this word, maybe contained in a little tract, or maybe just as you speak this word to people, what are you speaking? Whose words are you speaking? Friends, it's as though those words are coming from the very mouth of God. Man will not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. You know, whenever Jesus says that, and in terms of its relevance for us today, I believe Jesus is meaning, Jesus is wanting us to understand that when we teach and preach this word, when we share it in whatever capacity, it's as though people are being confronted with the word of God from the very mouth of God. That's what he has in mind. God's word is not irrelevant. That has been what many have believed for too long. It's just abstract. I'm not going to talk to those people. They wouldn't want to know. They don't need it. They do. They do. They cannot live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And you know, for us as Christians too, we cannot live on bread alone. We can only live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Here we see Jesus using the word of God. The devil comes and he tempts him three times. And each time Jesus responds to him with the word of God. Each time he said to the devil, it is written, it is written, it is written. He used the word of God to defend himself against the devil. Friends, that's why we need to hear the word of God as well. That's why we need every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Because if we don't have it, if we're not used in it, hearing God speak to us from his word, the devil, he will walk all over us. He will wreak havoc in our life. We need to, if we want to know that abundant life, we too need to be armed with every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Maybe you're wondering, where does that fit in with the whole thing about service? Well, it's very much in a sense of preparation. Seeing the need to go out there. Seeing beyond the bread that this world has got. And they've got so much in the way of bread. Used to be you could only get a sliced pan or a plain loaf, I'm told. I'm not old enough to remember back then. But now you can get all kinds of bread. But then people have all other sorts of bread. They've got the bread of wealth, the bread of fame, the bread of popularity, the bread of possessions. And sometimes that can be off-putting. See beyond it, friends. These are people with a soul. And no matter how much bread they have, it cannot nourish their soul. They need every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Let's pray.